Well, welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of Right Down the Street. My name is Brian Barnett, Mayor of the City of Rochester Hills, and your host for this podcast. Thank you to all of our listeners and folks that are tuning in. We appreciate you. We are thrilled to be one of the top 25% of all podcasts, according to Spotify, in the United States. So we thank you, our loyal viewers. We have another really exciting and interesting show for you today. Now, we've had a great year so far. You know, we started with Eric Qualman, one of the top leaders in digital marketing and digital leadership expert. We had the mayor of New Orleans talking about Mardi Gras a couple weeks ago. We had some hockey folks in here. When I say hockey folks, three local NHL stars talking about their career. I have to mention before we introduce our amazing guests, we did have the Coach Campy and Trey Townsend, who had a tremendous month winning, making it to the NCAA tournament, upsetting three-seed Kentucky, and having an overtime loss, but a great season for Oakland University. We congratulate them. I think probably it's because they're on the podcast. We won't know for sure, but I'm going to go with that. Today, we're sticking with another sports-themed show with three amazing women who are doing some really incredible things in our community. I can't wait for you to meet them and hear a little bit of their story. We're going to be talking about high school competitive cheer. And we've got the three head coaches from the three high schools, not just because they're the three high schools, but because they're the three best in the state of Michigan, and they've been that way for quite some time. I want to welcome Stony Creek's head coach, Tricia Williams, Adam High School's head coach, Brooke Miller, and the head coach from Rochester High School, Samantha Kohler, to our show. Welcome, ladies. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, the headline of the newspaper that ran, or the article that ran after the most recent state competition said, competitive cheer reigns elite in Rochester Hills as city schools win state finals. This is the season, in the season of crowning state champions, nobody reigned quite as supreme as the high schools of the Rochester Community School District. In that tournament, Stony Creek finished first, and this is, I don't know, how many schools are in the...
Eight. Only eight make it to the state
finals. Okay, but how many are in the pool to even get to eight? How many across
the country? About 79 Division I schools, I think.
So the 80 schools, we had the top three with Stony Creek finishing first, Adams finishing second, and Rochester finishing third, all within a point or two. We'll talk a little bit about the point scoring system because it might be a new thing for our guests. But when you hear those words, Tricia, and the final... announcement is made and you realize you have just won the state championship, your girls have, what goes through your head?
Not a whole lot, honestly. It's a real surreal kind of moment, something that the kids work so hard for all year long. And we know like we're up against some great competition. So going into a competition any day, any one of us could be the one coming out on top at the end of the day. So even if we've all done our best performances, a different panel, a different round order, a different, you know, luck of the draw, and a different winner is crowned. So it's just very thankful, very excited for the kids, and blessed.
Now, tournament day, in that particular moment, both of your teams, I think I've seen some of this footage, are kind of huddled up, down on their knees on the floor, waiting for those scores to be read. And they are within a point of each other, right? Or a point or two. Your perspective, your girls hear their names read or the school's name read. Mm-hmm. What goes through your mind at a moment like that?
So coaches-wise, we already know the scores, unless we choose not to know them. So I think we're just preparing our kids mentally for what's coming next. I think our kids knew, you know, we had a lot of hurdles to kind of overcome this year. So I think they were thrilled with that second place finish. But I think overall, it's just the culmination of the season, knowing that you gave everything you possibly could and you had three great rounds that day. And I think that knowing that you got off that mat with no regrets was absolutely a good end to the season for us.
And Samantha, you were the reigning state champions, mm-hmm. right? The Rochester Falcons were the champions last year. And you finished third this year, which by any stretch is a tremendous run. I mean, season, a wonderful accomplishment. How do you message that to the girls who, you know, who won last year, may be disappointed, but there's also an incredible sense of accomplishment for, you know, beating 76 other schools, right?
Yeah. And that was our constant reminder, is we came this far. We achieved a lot this season. Like Tricia said, it was anybody's day at any given time. So definitely a little bit of disappointment to end the season that way, because we were the reigning champs. But there was also a sense of pride knowing that we got beat by the best and from our hometown. So, you know, if we're going to get beat by anybody, I want it to be one of these guys.
Sure. And speaking of that, this isn't just a 1 year, you know, y'all had some strong seniors and this was a great year. This is a consistent appearance in the top one, two, or three for the schools. Some of the notes, third year in a row that both the winner and the runner-up were for one of the three schools represented here in Rochester Hills. The state championship title went to one of you three 8 times in the last 10 years, which is dominant by any stretch of the imagination. And it just seems like you kind of leapfrog each other. You won 3 in a row, then Rochester took the title. You've got it this year. What's it like knowing that the toughest competition is right in your backyard, Brooke?
Yeah, I think honestly, it has a lot of pros. I know there's a lot of pressure, I think, in general, just knowing that every single week you're going to have basically a state finals type competition every week. But I do think that, I think I hear Trisha say this a lot, but like steel sharpens steel. So I think that we truly push each other to be the best we possibly can be. And I think without that pressure and without having that, you know, competition down the street, I don't think we would be as strong as we are.
Trisha, you're sort of the dean here, having coached the longest. And you three obviously know each other. Do the girls, are they between the two teams, or three teams, I should say, how do they get into it? Do they know each other from early on, cheering early?
Oh, yeah.
What's the typical way a young lady gets into competitive cheer?
I mean, lots of different ways. We have amazing youth programs in Rochester with the Rochester Football Club and the Junior Cougars, both going really strong with great cheer programs. There's a ton of different dance facilities in the area and gymnastics gyms all within a radius. And all of those kids really love cheerleading. They find that as their sport in high school because we don't have a gymnastics team or anything like that in the high schools. So I think they come to that. And because they're so involved in the youth leagues and things like that, there's a lot of kids that know each other. At our league meets every night, you know, while we're waiting for the final scores, you see a couple of Adams girls, a couple of Rochester girls, a couple of Stony girls getting up and taking pictures together because they've been friends since elementary school, since their little kid gymnastics days. So I think that only makes the competition even better because they know the other people they're competing against.
Now, obviously, you all have had, I mean, even by any stretch of the major, historic careers and tremendous success. I tried to read the bios and I lost track of how many district, regional, state, coach of the year awards are represented right here. How did each of you get into it? Let me start with you, Samantha. Get into competitive cheer.
Coaching, that is. Yeah, I started coaching when I was probably 13 as like a junior coach for our little league with my mom. So she's been my inspiration to start coaching. I learned from her. And then I was able to have her as my coach in high school as well. And so I was a part of the Dearborn Lions youth program for 8 years, coaching side by side with her. And then as soon as I graduated, I tried to find a job knowing that I wanted to be a high school cheer coach. That's kind of how my journey started, and I just never left.
And you followed the legendary Susan Wood, right? Coach Wood, that was there for decades. Yep. And had won a number of championships, and you've kept it going and have added right to that string of success for the Falcons.
Yeah, definitely. It was a hard transition taking after such a legend, but I think that with the help of the community and our alumni and some of these really important families that are in our school district, I think that they've made it a much easier transition, and definitely having the support from Brooke and Trisha as well. We were competitors before that, so when I took over, I was able to utilize them as like, what happens here at Rochester? Can I have some help? So they have been really good advice and advocates for me as well.
Sure. And Brooke, how did you get into coaching?
Yes. Yeah, so my sister is older than me, and she actually started coaching my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. So I started kind of following along with her and going to practices with her teams. And I just kind of fell in love with that side of the sport. And once I graduated high school, I actually got the opportunity to coach at Avondale for 3 years, which is where I went to school.
Okay.
And then I made the transfer over to Stony, which I loved for 5 years. And then I also coached simultaneously at Andover High School until they combined for 3 of those years. Took a year off because I wanted to work on some career aspirations, and then came back a year later and have been at Adams for 10 years now.
And your career got started?
Well, out of high school, I tried out for staff. Champion Cheerleading is a big cheerleading camp in Michigan, and I made their staff and worked for them. Actually, I ended up working for them until 2003. But at the end of my first summer, I was going to Western Michigan University, and the team that I was working with needed a JV coach, so they offered me a job. So I started coaching my first year at Western Michigan University at Vicksburg High School with this team, and just kind of fell in love with coaching and working with kids, and changed my major into education so that I could do it, you know, for the rest of my life.
Yeah. 30 years now, right?
Yeah.
What makes you come back every year?
I've tried to retire a couple of times, and it just, there's this kind of this void. It's such a part of what I love to do, and working with kids literally brings you so much joy. It's the best part of coaching. And every year I'm like, I'll go out with this graduating group or the next graduating group, but then you meet the next group and they're just amazing.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite kid on your team?
I mean, my own kid is on my team, so I have to pick her, right? My daughter's a freshman this year on our team, so that's really exciting.
Yeah. And what's it like coaching your daughter?
Is
it harder than most people would think, or?
I don't know. I think everybody does think it's really hard, so I think they're right on. It's definitely not the easiest. The car rides home are, the venting session, and then usually by the time we get home, everything's good again. But yeah, it's challenging. In a lot of different ways.
Sure. Samantha, what's what keeps you coming back? What do you enjoy so much?
Oh, gosh. I think like Tricia said, there is, just that void thinking of not doing it. Or for me, I feel like it's the kids and just being able to make an impact on kids' lives. I feel like that is why we all coach, because we definitely don't do it for the money. we get to have these kids for 4 years, and we get to see them grow from these little peanut eighth graders to real women who drive cars and get jobs, and we get to have that impact on their life. And I think that's a huge reason why we all come back for this.
Brooke, what's the most important quality in a successful coach?
Gosh, there's so many, honestly. I think that for a coach in general, I think humility is a really big one, though, knowing that you're not going to always be perfect. You're always going to be learning, always going to be growing. And I think knowing that, you are someone that is never going to be the best you can possibly be, and you can always grow, I think is one of the biggest things I think you can take away from coaching.
Now, some people, that's good advice in a lot of ways. There's some people that might not totally understand the difference between competitive cheer, cheerleading, and dance. And, you go to different games to get different things. Some people's experiences with those dance mom shows, which I can take by your laughter that you've all at least watched or at least know the reputation. You ever run into those challenges? Have parents ever, get on your nerves? Are they challenging? Is it easier to deal with the students than it is the parents? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think we're pretty lucky. I hope that I'm speaking truth for all of us, but our parents are just amazing. The Stoney parents have kind of a following of their own. They get more airtime at the state finals from the commentary than the teams do usually. And they get outfits. They get all sorts of excited about everything, but they really do cheer for everyone. And I think the difference is that our dads get into the stats. I mean, they can follow the average scores. They can look at stats, which is different than the dance and the sideline cheerleading and things like that. And it allows everybody to really kind of dig in and really get into the sport and understand what's going on.
Yeah, I think the parents have to be just as dedicated as the kids, honestly, especially within our programs. But I do think, just like Trista said, that they follow along and they're so invested just as much as our kids are. And we are grateful to have a great group of parents.
There is nothing more cool than watching a group of dads get so excited for their
daughters. Yeah.
It is pretty cool to watch.
There's got to be maybe it's frustration, maybe it's curiosity from the other schools in the state that have to wonder, okay, maybe one school is good. Maybe one school has a great program and great coaching or great support staff. But how are all three so consistently good for so many years. I mean, what do you hear the other teams say about the Rochester Community School District in this regard? I mean, do you hear anything? Do you, you know, what's you have to have heard some things, Brooke.
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but I think that the foundation that's been built for cheerleading in this community really is the reason that this whole town is so good and so consistent. And I think that, you know, I'm going to kind of give a credit where credit's due. I think Susan Wood is a lot of the reason that that is been the way that it's been for 40 plus years at this point. She made this a cheerleading town, and then all these families have made it a point to stick around for cheerleading in this in this area. And then we also have all of these youth programs that have come up because, you know, this area has been so prevalent with cheerleading. So I think overall, I think that's why we're so strong, because it starts from the families getting that buy-in and then having those youth programs build us up. And then these kids are just ready a little bit earlier, I think, than other school districts.
I'll rephrase the question to you. Why are Troy and Orion Township so bad?
No, they're not. Shout out to Lake Orion because they had a fantastic season.
Oh, crap. That's my brother's community. I hate to give them credit. So the other part of having, you know, experienced so much success is the high expectations, probably that you set for yourself, but also that the parents and the community and others have. How do you deal with those, Samantha? That you know, I mean, you're maybe dealing with them right now. You won last year. You had a great year, but you don't have a trophy this year. How do you manage those expectations for your girls for the coming year?
We just have to keep encouraging them. I mean, like we said earlier in the show, it's anybody's day on any given time. So we all know that we work so hard all summer. We start working at specific things and stunts and stuff right away to try and, take advantage of the time that we have together throughout the summer and throughout the fall to prepare ourselves for competitive season. But I think that just winning the mental game every single year, no matter how our year ends, we have to just kind of like reload that and make sure that the kids are mentally prepared for another season of a roller coaster. You know, like we beat them, they beat them, they beat us, and every competition is different. So it is very mentally exhausting and trying on our kids. So I think that that's the best thing that we can do is just make sure that they're ready for the ride of, you know, a lifetime for this year. And we graduated 4 seniors this last season. So moving into this year, we're pretty stocked and ready to go. And, you know,
like
I have
a challenge. Sounds like putting it out there, ladies.
Yeah, we have a big class of juniors. So they're kind of like already refocused and refueled. And I'm like, please don't talk to me until after May 18th. That's when my wedding is. So, I think the mental game is definitely something that we have to all prepare our kids for.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going to say to add on to that, I think just focusing internally is really, really a big thing, is we focus on ourselves and our own goals and not focusing on what is happening outside. I think that is huge for us, because you can see what Stoney's doing or what Rochester's doing, and you can start to get in your head a little bit about it watching on social media. So we really try to focus internally on our goals and what's going on in our gym and making sure that we're happy with our success and making ourselves proud every day.
And Tricia, some people might not understand how athletic you really need to be to be successful at the level that all three of your programs are successful. Share with us briefly what a season looks like. I mean, the training starts, the type of stretch and the athletic rigor. Talk to us about what it takes to be successful at this level.
It is a ton of work. I mean, our kids at Stoney are lifting weights twice a week on a strength program. It's the same strength program that the football team is on. We are doing tumbling twice a week with extra trainers, stunting, obviously, all of the time, conditioning. We have a progressive jump program with plyometrics and proprioceptor training for injury prevention. We are doing cardio. They are working 2.5 to 3 hours, sweating profusely in that gym, in the hot, hot, hot auxiliary gym at Stony Creek High School, all summer long. And then we get to competitive season when you get your routines together. That's the round three. If you've ever seen a competition, everybody's always blown away by the round three. And there are some days at practice where we're doing that thing 6, 7, 8 times just to get it right. So we get a lot of credit at our school. Our coaches are wonderful. Our administrators are amazing at Stony Creek. And they always tell everyone that their team needs to work as hard as their cheerleaders do.
Sure.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Did any of you cheer in high school?
Yeah, I cheered at Avondale.
Okay. How has it changed since you cheered? I'll start with Samantha, then come to you, Brooke.
Oh, I'm probably the worst person to ask. My school didn't have a competitive cheer team, so I was like basketball, sideline, football, cheerleader.
I cheered in the 90s.
I was born in the 90s.
Shots fired.
So we might have to pass this question to you now. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, we cheered in the 90s. It doesn't even compare. And what's fun is I have a VHS tape of the 1993, my senior year state finals, where I cheered at Gaylord. And every once in a while, I'll show that to my team, and we'll be halfway through, and they'll be watching the video, and they always are like, so, and you were good? Like, you were one of the good teams. I'm like, yeah. Really does not even compare.
Hey, Shout out to graduating in 1993.
Oh, nice.
Any change? I mean, what would you say the biggest changes from when you cheered?
Yeah, I think overall, just the talent level has grown so immensely for all of our programs. And just looking back at even not just my team, but like what, you know, Rochester and Stony and Adams were doing when I was in school is just does not compare to what, you know, we are able to do now. And I think it's great to see the sport continue to grow. And I know we'll be looking back at this 10 years later and be like, wow, we were awful. You know, and I feel like that's how we feel every 10 years or so. We look back and we're like, that was not good. Why do we think that was so great? But yeah, I think it's just because we continue to raise that bar every year.
Yeah.
And how do you raise the bar? Is it a move? Is it, an extra twist on the flip? Is it like, do you sit there and just think like, okay, in order to win next year, we've got to flip one more time or add another twist. I mean, is that the kind of, you know, preparation that goes into the third round?
I think honestly, it's just finding a way to stand out at this point, because I think we have all maxed out our score sheets to as much as we possibly can. So I think it's finding that way to be the team people talk about a little bit more and just finding something new and different and within our very restrictive rules, unfortunately. Yeah. So I think that's a lot of it.
Mm. I giggle at this question because my daughter walks around the house going, Stony Creek. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's really catchy.
Well, my daughter says, R-O-R-O-T.
So,
you know, they go back and forth.
So Trisha definitely had the catchy slogan of the year this year. And I feel like that's one of those standout moments too. And we're like, did she just, they just slow-mo? Okay, yeah, that was sweet. You know, you can't deny things that when they're really cool. Like, I'll never forget the full-ups cross leg from the ground from Adams. Like, that was, you know.
I'm going to nod my head like, I know what that is.
Yeah, we'll have to play it. Cue the video, right? But yeah, you just have to find one of those like standout, what's going to make your team stand out that the judges are going to finish the routine and be like, I'm never going to forget that. And I feel like that's kind of one of those things that we're all pretty good at kind of coming up with.
Mm. Yep.
When you look back at this, as you kind of said, you know, whenever your coaching career ends, how will you judge whether or not you were successful?
I think by the kids you impact. Mm-hmm. I think honestly, looking back and having kids that are still messaging you and talking to you from 18 years ago and you get to follow along in their life, you know that you did a great job by impacting them for more than just the 4 years.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's definitely really rewarding seeing what they do after high school, preparing them for college. You know, when you have kids go cheer in college, you're still following their journey. You're still their number one fan. So seeing them go into that, and then I've only been coaching for 15 years with the high school. So like I do have kids that I've coached now that are married and have kids and, you know, went into the military, and like I still talk to all of them, and just knowing that they're successful humans outside of the high school realm, that's, I feel like, how you can really judge if you were successful.
Trisha?
I mean, I would absolutely agree with that. I think one of the coolest moments for me this year was at the regional championship. Maddie Reeder, you remember her, she was a senior on my 2010 state champion team when Brooke was coaching with me, brought her daughters to the competition just because she had nothing else to do and was in town and just to watch us compete, and then came over and talked to the team afterwards, and it was just that really great, you know, circle of life moment, that's what we do it for.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly a privilege, you know, having two sons that just went through the Rochester Community School District, and you know, obviously they went to Rochester High School. The cheer team there was always exceptional. I mean, it just was, you were so proud of them. And while we have an innate frustration with Adams because you always beat us on the football field. It was, you could really tell the excellence and really the athleticism of the young ladies and everything. And my favorite time was always watching, at least at Rochester, the last game where the elementary schools would come and the middle schools would come and you'd watch, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old girls look with such awe at 16 and 17-year-old girls just doing some amazing things. You can just see the pipeline and the success of inspiring young women to, you know, to want to be like her and cheer like her. And that's a really cool thing that's been set up here. That's awesome. Now, I have to tell you that as we end this podcast, we always ask every guest the same question. Everybody that's been on here, so I'm going to ask all three of you the same thing. You've got no prep for this. There's no wrong answer. But you might giggle if someone answers wrong.
No.
Your life is obviously has your lives have impacted a lot of others, and this question is more reflective about who maybe has impacted yours. If you could have lunch or dinner, it's a two-part question, with any person alive or past, who would it be, and where would you take them? And we'll start with our reigning state champion.
Okay, well, this one's easy for me. I would take my dad. He passed in 2003. And so I would take him to Bad Brad's Barbecue because he loved a good barbecue. So I would take him there and see how things have been going.
That's right. Brooke?
Gosh, follow that one. That's a toughie. you know, honestly, I think my dad as well, he's been having a lot of health issues. And I think, you know, just making sure that he's able to go to Gatlinburg and enjoy his, you know, his last time at, there's this old mill restaurant that he loves. So
okay. Good answer.
Samantha? Yeah, I kind of got to go along with this one. My mom has been fighting cancer for a long time, so I still get to have dinners with her. So I'm going to make a point to do that more often now.
Oh, look at that. Well, maybe we've done some good with this last question. Thank you all. Thank all three of you for being here. Thank you for not just being a part of this, but for impacting so many people in our community, not just the young ladies, but the families and those that encourage and watch. It really is an important part of our community. I think we have an exceptional school district, and it is always really wonderful to see on game days and certainly in your competitions, the pride that your teams have, and then hopefully the pride that the community has in seeing their success. Congratulations to all three of you. We look forward to bringing you back, and maybe we'll rotate the chairs next time depending on who's successful. But as long as the hardware stays here in Rochester Hills, we're super happy. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And we want to thank all of you joining us today for Right Down the Street. We will be back with another exciting episode real soon with the people that make things happen right in our community. Until next time, we'll see you soon, and God bless.